This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon all those who follow his sunnah, his guidance, his way, his methodology until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss another very important topic from amongst the topics that Imam al-Nawawi included in his book, Riyadu al-Saliheen, Gardens of the Righteous. And this topic is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about some 158 times in the Qur'an. 158 times in the Qur'an. And it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the people before us about, not only Muslims, but those who came before us, from amongst those who were also Muslims. And the topic at hand is called taqwa. And often it's referred to as taqwallah. Okay, now when we open up many translations, whether it be translations of the Qur'an or translations of hadith, the word taqwa is interpreted as piety. And actually, if we have a look at the book in front of us, Riyad al-Saliheen, by this publisher, the translation is piety. But taqwa is a word that includes more than that. And there have been many attempts at, you know, the translation of it. So sometimes you see taqwa, it's interpreted as piety. Sometimes it's fear of Allah. Sometimes it's reverence of Allah, revering Allah. Sometimes you see it as being God conscious, you know. So it actually includes all of those meanings. It includes all of those words, taqwa. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبَلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That we have instructed that those who came before you and yourselves, anittaqullah, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that, وَلَقَدَ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So those who were given the scriptures before you, okay, and yourselves, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to revere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to be conscious of Allah. We'll use the word taqwa, okay, because it is more appropriate, given that this is the concept that we're talking about, inshallah ta'ala, and the notion. Now, the word taqwa, there are many variants of the word. You know, you have, for example, those who practice taqwa are referred to as muttaqoon or muttaqeen. And that just depends on where the word is in the sentence. Okay, it depends on grammar rules. Okay, muttaqoon, muttaqeen, okay, those who have taqwa, that's what it means. Muttaqoon, muttaqeen means the same thing. Okay, muttaqoon, those who are practicing taqwa. Okay, and the word taqwa, the basic letters of the word taqwa are ta, qaf, and alif maqsura. Taqa, ta, qaf, alif, alif maqsura, taqa. Now, the linguistic definition, as you know, with all of these concepts, there's a linguistic definition to these words. Now, the linguistic definition of the word taqwa is to place an object between you and between that which is likely to harm you. If you place an object or a barrier between yourself and that which is going to harm you, that's taqwa, linguistically speaking. Now, we know that there's always a relationship between the linguistic definition of a word and the technical definition of the word, or in the context of Islam, or as the ulama, they say, al-ma'na al-istilahi, the istilahi definition, the technical definition. And technically speaking, when the ulama talk about taqwa, in Islam, it's about protecting oneself from that which warrants sin or that which warrants the anger and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. So putting a barrier between you and that which is going to bring sins or that which is going to bring the wrath and anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ghadab of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, how do you practice taqwa? You practice taqwa by leaving off and abandoning and moving away from the prohibited acts, whatever is haram. By keeping away from haram, you are practicing taqwa. It sometimes means you could be leaving off something which is not necessarily haram, but it's mubah. Sometimes there are some issues that are permissible. By leaving those permissible, certain permissible acts, that is also a sign of your taqwa. You know, and this is based on the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Al-halal bayyin wal-haram bayyin." Halal is clear, right? Haram is clear. And between them, between halal and haram, there are those matters which are the grey matters or the doubtful matters. Okay? And he said, whoever protects themselves from these doubtful matters, it is more better for his deen. Right? So, this is what we're talking about here when it comes to taqwa. Leaving off the haram and then doing, so it's not only about leaving off things, but it also means doing things. Part of your taqwa is to pray. So you need to be doing certain acts. Part of your taqwa is to fast Ramadan. Part of your taqwa is to give your zakat. Now, as I said, there have been different definitions of the word taqwa because it's a very comprehensive word. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu wa arda, he defined taqwa like this. He said, taqwa al-khawfu min al-jaleel. It is that you fear, or revere Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالْعَمَلُ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ, that you act upon the revelation, that you act upon the Qur'an. It's not just about reading the Qur'an. وَالْرِضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ, that you be content, that you be satisfied with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal, whatever little Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. الرِضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ, that you prepare yourself for the day of departure, that we prepare ourselves for death. That's all taqwa. So those four things means that you are fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. As we said, al-khawf min al-jaleel. It is to fear the most magnificent, Allah Azza wa Jal. Wal-amalu bil-tanzeel, that you act upon the revelation, that you act upon the Qur'an. Wal-rida bil-qaleel, and being content with what Allah has given you. And being preparing yourself, liyawm al-raheel, for the day of departure, preparing yourself for death. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he also gave a definition of taqwa. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, he was once asked about taqwa. Somebody asked him. I mean, Abu Huraira is one of those, is the sahabi, is the companion who narrated the most number of hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he was asked about taqwa, he posed a question to the questioner. And he said to him, have you ever trodden on a thorny path? You know, a path that's filled with thorns, shawk. And he says, yes, I've been on a path where there's thorns on it, you know, rose bushes, and then he says, what did you do? He said, whenever I saw the thorns, I moved away from them. Or I stepped over them. I made sure that I didn't come into contact with these thorns that are likely to prick me and hurt me. And so Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda said, that's taqwa. That's what taqwa is. That you keep away from those things that are going to harm you, that harm your iman, that harm your Islam, that harm your Islamic identity as a Muslim. Now, as I said earlier, those who practice taqwa, Allah Azza wa Jal, He refers to them as the muttaqeen or the muttaqoon. And if you are one of those who have taqwa, those who are muttaqoon or muttaqeen, then there is a lot of merit, a lot of virtue, a lot of reward for those who have taqwa. And the storehouse of taqwa is your heart. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he mentioned some things, and amongst the things that he said, "At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna," wa ashara ila qalbihi. He said, "Taqwa is here. The fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and revering Allah, it's in here. So the storehouse of your taqwa is here, is your heart, is your qalb." And that's why we find from amongst the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِ عَلَى دِينِكَ أَوْ عَلَى طَعَتِكَ, that, O turner of the hearts, make my heart steadfast, firm on your deen, on your religion. This is from the dua of a Muslim. And the Qur'an offers many mubashirat, which are glad tidings. Many mubashirat, many glad tidings to those who have taqwa. And I've enumerated some 15 of them that the Qur'an have mentioned, glad tidings for those who have taqwa. And these are all from the Qur'an. Remember I mentioned earlier on, we're talking about 158 verses at least. 158 verses talking about taqwa. And the Allah's promise to those who have taqwa, to those who have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, from amongst the ayat, I mean, I can't sit here and read you all the ayat. But when we look at all of these ayat, this is a summary of what we find. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives support and victory to those who have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ennobles, He makes them, yani, kareem. He makes them, He ennobles, makes them noble those who have taqwa. He grants them knowledge and wisdom. You know, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, you know, وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, that, you know, you have the taqwa of Allah. Allah gives you knowledge and understanding of the deen. He gives you wisdom when you have taqwa. It wipes away your sins. It's an atonement of the sins. It increases your reward. Allah forgives you when you have taqwa. It makes things easy for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah makes his affairs, Allah makes things easy for that person because of the taqwa that you have. It also delivers a person out of distress and trials. If you're going through challenging moments in your life, okay, hardships, then this is when you need to remember Allah Azza wa Jal and have that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so He can deliver you out and bring you out of the hardship that you are in. Just like, for example, you know the story that we mentioned previously about the three men who entered the cave, and a rock came and it blocked the cave. You know, we've mentioned this. It's a lecture you can download. The whole story about these three men. They entered the cave and each one made a dua. And it's their taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal that delivered them out of this difficult situation that they found themselves in, the dilemma that they found themselves in. It gives way to increased wealth. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you want to be better off financially, then have taqwa Allah. Allah helps you with your wealth. And this is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. It saves a person from the hellfire. I mean, that's enough. I mean, if you're saved from the hellfire, then you've won everything else. Because if you're not in the hellfire, where are you? You're in Jannah. It leads to the Jannah. Okay? It helps you achieve your goals. Allah testifies that those who have taqwa are the truthful ones. Those who have taqwa are the truthful ones. It warrants the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it is part of perfecting your ubudiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, your worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, with the word taqwa, He mentions the word birr. Birr means goodness, being good. You know, we have the concept of birrul walidain, being dutiful and being kind towards your parents, birr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He mentions sometimes, with the word taqwa, He mentions birr. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. So, the ulama said this. They said, if ever you have birr and taqwa together, birr means doing those duties, doing those commands, or fulfilling the commands of Allah, those things that we are supposed to do. Alright, that's birr. And taqwa, therefore, is keeping away from the haram. But if taqwa is mentioned by itself, then it means two things. Taqwa means doing the things that you're supposed to be doing as Muslims, whether it's your prayer, whether it's your zakah, whether it's your fasting of Ramadan, whether it's hajj, etc. Okay? And it's also keeping away from haram, whether it's the haram is you know, being undutiful towards your parents, whether it's dealing with riba, whether it's talking about others, whether it's lying, okay? So that's what we're talking about here, what the ulama, they said. So the word taqwa includes both doing and leaving. Unless it's mentioned with bir, bir would mean doing, and taqwa would mean leaving off. Because that's the original meaning of taqwa, is to leave off, to move away from. Now, if we look at Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, the first verse he mentions from Ali Imran, he says, قال الله تعالى, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. O you who have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, fear Allah as He should be feared. Fear Allah as He should be feared. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is addressing who? Who is He addressing? He's saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla, He addresses the believers. Sometimes He addresses mankind, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. But here specifically, Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing the believers, because it is the belief of a person that will motivate, that will drive, will be the driving force for you to fear Allah. If you don't have the correct belief, if you don't have iman, okay, then how are you going to fear Allah Azza wa Jal? So it begins by having the proper iman. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who have believed, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Fear Allah as He should be feared. Now, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ is explained in the next verse that he mentioned. I mean, you know, the Qur'an complements each other. Okay? In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Taghabun, verse 16, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Now, I'll tell you something. This is a very important principle. Some of these verses in the Qur'an and some hadith you'll find, they actually formulate principles on that will teach us how to, that will give us answers to many questions or many scenarios or many situations that you will find yourself in, whereby you will not find a very clear-cut hadith or verse from the Qur'an dealing with that issue. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you are able to do. Now, what does that mean? Okay? Because Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal, does not burden any person beyond their capability or their abilities or capacity. Allah doesn't burden a soul more than it can bear. We have to remember this. This is from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. That shows that Allah is all merciful. So when we talk about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the stuff that we're talking about here. And so for example, there are certain acts of worship. You have to perform them in a certain way. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ أُصَلِّي. Pray as you have seen me praying. We have a duty to pray Allah in the manner in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed in, right? So therefore, we know that one of the pillars, the arkan of the salah, is to pray standing. You have to pray standing. It's a must 100%. But now we have a verse that's telling us, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. Well, I can't pray standing. I have a condition. Okay? Oh, okay, well then you can't pray standing, so you can't fully perfect the prayer by standing, therefore now fear Allah as much as you can. You might have to pray partially standing, partially sitting, maybe partially on your side, depending on your condition. And in the hadith which is found in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Imran ibn Husayn, one of the Sahaba, he had hemorrhoids. He had a condition, and he couldn't pray standing. Okay, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say to him? Okay, he said to him, "Salli qa'iman," pray standing. "Fa'in lam tastati' faqa'idan," if you are unable to pray standing, pray sitting. "Fa'in lam tastati' fa'ala jamb," and if you can't even pray sitting, pray on your side. You see, this is so. He took him through the steps: pray standing, unable, sitting. You can't pray sitting, pray on your side. So Islam gives us concessions, and that's what this verse is saying. Fear Allah as much as you can. And only Allah knows whether you can or you cannot. And the same applies to all of the acts of worship. Let's look at, for example, siyam, fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. That whoever is marid, whoever is sick, or whoever is traveling, then he should make up those days later on. Right? So therefore, fear Allah as much as you can. You can't pray, you can't fast now, fast them later. If you're sick, if you're a traveler. Likewise, with Hajj. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Hajj? Now, Hajj requires a lot of effort. There's a lot of travel that's involved, which has a toll on the body. Not everybody's going to be able to perform the Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That Hajj, يعني is an important وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, that it is a duty for people to perform Hajj, the Hajj of the Bayt, the Hajj towards the house, in other words, to Mecca, in other words, towards the Kaaba. Okay, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who can find a way to do it. In other words, if you don't have the physical means, the financial means to do Hajj, you don't have to do Hajj. But say, for example, you have the financial means, but you don't have the physical means. What do you do here? You actually find someone to perform Hajj on your behalf who has performed Hajj themselves. So you might have the money, but you don't have the ability, physical ability. You just can't do it. You have a disability, or you have an illness that prevents you, a chronic or terminal illness, whatever it is. So here, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, fear Allah as much as you can by doing what? By now paying for someone to go and do Hajj on your behalf, even though you're still alive. Some people might think, well, hold on, that's only applicable once I die. No. You can be alive and someone is performing Hajj on your behalf. So remember this, inshallah ta'ala. So therefore, taqwa is dependent on the ability. It depends on your ability. You fear Allah as much as you are able to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? If a person now must commit, for example, a haram, can they commit a haram? Is there situations where you can commit haram? Yes, of course. There are many situations that warrant for us to commit the haram. To commit the haram, do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is not allowed. So for example, there's no other meat. You know the situation, you know the scenario. There's no other meat to eat but pork meat, or, you know, meat from the khinzir, from the pig, or the maita, the animal which has died from causes other than slaughtering. Okay? You know, we're not allowed to eat maita. We're not allowed to eat khinzir. So let's say we're in a situation whereby we're about to die. Are we allowed to eat this? Yes, of course we are. But this is a necessity. And we only eat enough to get us by. Not that we eat our fill. You see? And there's a principle in Islam. There's a principle which says, الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. That darura, necessity, okay, necessity, makes permissible المحظورات, which are the prohibited acts. الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. And this is based, where do we get this principle from? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Let there be no harming or causing of harm. So there are these principles, they call them in Islam usul. And these principles, when you ask many shaykhs or imams or scholars about a question, there are these scenarios never necessarily existed, or these diseases or illnesses or challenges, whatever you want to call them, they didn't exist at the time of the Prophet. So how do ulama come up with these verdicts, fatwa? There are principles that have been derived from hadiths and from the Quran, and then they give you an answer to your question based on a principle. So am I allowed to do such and such act which is haram in this situation? Yes, you are, because it's a necessity. So you are allowed to do things out of necessity. And in Surah Al-An'am, verse 119, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. that Allah has made it very clear what is haram. It is clear what is haram. Except that which of you are forced out of necessity. So Allah is telling us in the Quran that if you are in a situation that is, it's necessary, it's a life threatening, or it's a matter of يعني, urgency, then you are allowed to do it. Now the next ayah that Imam al-Nawawi he mentioned in the chapter or Bab al-Taqwa, he says, وقال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. He says, and you often hear this. This is part of the khutbah al-hajjah. The Imam often says this يوم الجمعة and during special events such as marriage ceremonies. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Okay, so قولاً سديداً. قولاً, قول is words or speech. سديدة is true, or truthful, or correct, or good. سديدة. So, ذكر الله is good. Remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is good words. وقولوا قولاً سديداً. So here, the command is, again addressing the believers, fear Allah and say, keep your duty towards Allah, and speak always the truth. That's what it means here. Dhikrullah is good speech. Seeking knowledge is good speech. Enjoining the good, al-amr bil-ma'roof, is good speech. Al-nahyu an al-munkar, prohibiting or advising people from not to commit haram or prohibited acts. This is also يعني from taqwallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala and from qawlan sadida, good words. Or you might just say good words to win the hearts over of the people, just to be nice. Now, وَقُولُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say to the people good words. And that's why the Prophet, and what encapsulates all of this, is the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, found in Sahih Bukhari, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيُصْمِتْ. That whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say good words or be quiet. Don't say anything at all. If you don't have anything good to say, then don't say it. So, when it comes to your speech, some speech is wrong in and so speech which is not good, okay, is not sadida. Okay? And when it comes to speech, there is wrong speech when it comes to either the content of your speech. Number one, the content of your speech. So for example, lying, false accusations, backbiting, slandering, malicious gossip, okay, profanities, you know, swear words. Okay. This is not qawlan sadida. You've gone against the command to fear Allah and say good speech. And sometimes, incorrect speech or speech which is not qawlan sadida is speech which is good in itself, but it's said at the wrong time. The timing is not right. The timing. There's a saying that says in Arabic, a principle as well, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. There is a time and place for everything. There is a time and place for everything. Sometimes it's not the right time to admonish someone. You have to wait to do it later on. You can't maybe, you know, sometimes, like let's say for example, you have your child who's done something wrong and you're around, everybody's around, people are around, and you want to, they've said something or done something. Maybe this isn't the right time because you could do more damage right now. You might have to leave it till later on. So it's, when we talk about wrong speech or speech which is not sadida, it's speech whereby in itself it's wrong or you've said it at the wrong time, the wrong place. And this is why when the ulama spoke about hikmah, when the ulama spoke about wisdom, when they spoke about hikmah or they spoke about wisdom, they said it is قولوا ما ينبغي في الوقت الذي ينبغي على الوجه الذي ينبغي. It is speech that is appropriate, that is said in an appropriate manner, that is said in an appropriate time, So we have to be careful with what we are saying. So now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Now, another ayah that is mentioned here, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That he says here, the translation, and whosoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, he will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty, and he will provide him from sources he never could imagine. This is in Surah Al-Talaq, verses 2 and 3. This is a very, very important ayah to do with taqwa. That means, if you fear Allah, if you have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will provide a way out of the hardship that you are in, from where you least expect it. Is it not true that Allah Azza wa Jal can say to something, kun fayakun, be, and it is? Do you have any doubt about that? Are not the hearts in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah can turn hearts. Allah is a turner of hearts. Allah is a turner of situations. So Allah can make something happen, but it's up to us to have that yaqeen in Allah Azza wa Jal. So here Allah is saying to us that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. He will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. Just like he did with those three men that entered the cave and they made dua, rock was blocking the entrance of the cave. There was no way out except for that exit spot, and Allah Azza wa Jal, he allowed for the rock to move and they got out of the cave. So we need to remember, it's important to have taqwa Allah, because we are going to be in situations in our lives that are very difficult, that are challenging, that only Allah can see us out of them. We have to remember this. And it's through the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, keeping away from the haram and doing the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we have gained taqwa, and then we will see that inshaAllah ta'ala we'll be able to come out of them. Now, some people, however, they are hasty. And so they wait for the faraj. They wait for the outlet. They wait for the success. They wait for something to happen. And they say, we're waiting and waiting and nothing has happened. And so they lose the sabr. And they start to commit the haram. And they start to say things about Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? Why? Because they weren't patient. And the key here, when you are going through a calamity, when you are going through a difficult time of your life, that there needs to be sabr, there needs to be patience. And sometimes, subhanallah ta'ala, the positive outcome could just be around the corner. But you were hasty and you just missed out. You just missed out. Right? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, which is found in Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ. يعني your dua will be accepted. Your dua will be accepted. مَا لَمْ يُعَجِّلْ, as long as he is not hasty. Very clear words. As long as you are not hasty. يَقُول, this person who's making dua, he says, دَعَوْتُ ثُمَّ دَعَوْتُ ثُمَّ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. I've made dua and dua and dua, and it's, my dua hasn't been accepted. This person has been hasty. Make dua and make dua and make dua, and insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will see you through this. Allah can give you better than what you, than your loss, than your hardship. And sometimes what appears to be a loss to you is actually a gain, but you can't see the gain yet. It's just coming, and you'll see it inshaAllah ta'ala. So, and also the importance of another ayah that Imam al-Nawawi, he mentioned here, is إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 29. Al-Anfal 29. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen to this. If you obey and fear Allah, You see how they use a lot of words for taqwa. Here he's mentioned in one place, now he just mentioned obey and fear Allah. Before, it says, fears Allah and keeps his duty towards him. Right? Now, he says, تَتَّقُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. He will grant you furqan. Furqan means criterion. There is a surah in the Quran called Al-Furqan, Surah Al-Furqan. A criterion, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with the ability to judge between what is right and what is wrong. What is good for you and what is not good for you. He gives you information. He sends you information, whether it's through somebody, whether it's through a book, whether it's through the internet. Allah sends you information to be able to work out what is right and what is wrong. Furqan. That happens through the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And not only that, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. So when you fear Allah, you'll be able to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. And secondly, He will forgive you of your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, and forgive you of your sins. And Allah is the owner of great bounty. So it's very important if you want, for example, to have good memory, to memorize Quran, to memorize Hadith, if you want to be able to memorize all of this knowledge so that way you can implement it when times of hardship come about, that you have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why it is mentioned that Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he complained to his teacher Waqi'. Waqi' is one of his teachers. And he says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي. I complained to Waqi' about my poor memory. شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. So he directed me and guided me to leave off sins. He goes, look, you want good memory? Abandon all sins. Keep away from sinful actions. وَقَالَ إِعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. He said, know that knowledge is nur. Knowledge is light. And if you want that light, listen to this. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُتَّهُ عَاصِي. And the nur of Allah, the light of Allah, the knowledge from Allah is not given to a sinful person. Because a sinful person is one who's not practicing taqwa. Because if he was practicing taqwa, his taqwa would prevent him from committing the haram. So, as you can see, there are many fruits to be gained through the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are many fruits to be gained through the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned some hadiths in this chapter. He mentioned some prophetic gems. And I'm not going to mention all the hadiths from this chapter. Although it is surprising that there are not many hadiths mentioned in this chapter. So let me just mention some of the hadiths that he did mention. He mentioned the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu wa adha in Sahih Muslim. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ. That the life of the world is sweet and green. حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءَ فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةٍ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ كَانَتْ أَوَّلُ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. He said, the life of the world is sweet and green, and Allah makes you generations succeeding one another, so that He may try you in respect of your actions. So beware of the bewilderments of the world and those of women. Beware of the trials of this world and that of women. He said the first trial of Banu Israel was through women. So again, he mentions here this hadith to do with taqwa. So wealth and property of this world are favorites of everyone, like the fresh fruit, which is sweet, delicious, and attractive for all. Okay? And everyone is attracted to these things. And this is how the dunya is. This is how the dunya is. Another hadith that he mentioned is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda. And this is a dua. Here he's mentioned a dua that Muslims should be constantly saying. A very important dua. Memorize this dua. It's a short dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, كان يقول, اللهم إني أسألك الهدى. والتقى والعفاف والغنى. That's it. اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. Which means, oh Allah, I ask you for guidance, for tuqa, which is a taqwa. That's the way he mentioned it. I ask you to give me guidance. I ask you to give me taqwa. I ask you to give me chastity. And I ask you to make me self-sufficient. They're the four things you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal in this specific dua. A short dua, yet very powerful in what you are asking Allah Azza wa Jal for. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Another hadith mentioned by that Imam al-Nawawi collected in his collection, which is found in Sahih Muslim. It is the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من حلف على يمين ثم رأى أتقى لله منها فليأتي التقوى. This is a very important hadith. And here he says, he who has taken an oath to do something, he who has taken an oath to do something, but found something else better than that, you find something else better than that, then he should do that which is better in piety, and he should expiate for the breaking of the oath. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, you say, Wallahi, you've made an oath, Wallahi, I'm not going to speak to Ahmed. Certain brother, his name is Ahmed. Now, you know, when you say, I'm not going to talk to a Muslim, this is not the way of a Muslim. A Muslim shouldn't abandon his Muslim brother for more than 3 days. And the better of the two is the one who says the salam first. Oh, Wallahi, I'm not going to talk to Maryam or Khadija or whoever it is. This is not a good thing. So, Islam teaches us to break that oath. Even though you've made that oath, you break your oath. And you compensate for your oath. How? By either feeding or clothing 10 people. Okay, if you can afford this. If you can't afford this, then you must fast 3 days. You must fast 3 days. So therefore, this hadith is teaching us, even if you say, Wallahi, that you're not going to do such and such, or Wallahi, I'm never going to enter such and such family's house. Now that oath is binding, mind you. The oath is binding. You've made an oath. There's no two way about it. But you are allowed to break your oath. In Islam, if you make a halif, you are allowed to break it. But in breaking it, you must compensate. You must do the kafara. And the kafara is, as I said earlier. So this hadith teaches, this is from your taqwa. This is from your taqwa. Another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned here, this is the last hadith I want to mention from here. It's the hadith of Umama radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying during the sermon of the farewell pilgrimage, he said, ittaqullaha, ittaqullah. The first advice he said was, have taqwa of Allah, fear Allah, ittaqullaha, wasallu khamsakum, and pray your 5 prayers, wasumu shahrakum, and fast your month, the month of Ramadan, وَأَدُّوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ, and pay your zakat on your properties, on your wealth. وَأَطِيعُوا أُمَرَاءَكُمْ, and obey your leaders. تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ, and you will enter the Jannah of your Rabb. It's like a formula he gave us, subhanAllah. An equation. That this plus this plus this plus this equals Jannah. Okay, so here he said, be mindful of your duty to Allah. Have fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. The first one is your duty with Allah Azza wa Jal. Taqwa Allah. Okay, perform your 5 daily prayers. Observe the month of Ramadan, fasting it. Do your zakat. Obey your leaders. So 5 things actually. And you will enter Jannah. So these are the hadiths that Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned when it comes to taqwa. So again, remembering, these are not all the hadith to do with taqwa. There are a number of others, some of which I will just conclude with inshallah ta'ala, that are not mentioned in Riyadh al-Salihin. That are not mentioned in Riyadh al-Salihin. From amongst the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, He said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Fear the hellfire. Beware of the hellfire, even if you have to give, in other words, in as a sadaqah, half of a date. Fear the hellfire. Remember, we said taqwa is to put a barrier between you and sins, between you and the anger of Allah, between you and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Putting that barrier between you and what is going to bring about bad effects for you in this life and in the hereafter. So here he's telling us, you want to fear Allah, at least give half of a date. Even if you give something very measly in sadaqah, then this is a part of your taqwa. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. See, shaitan makes you think, oh look, you know, if you can't give $100, it's not worth giving. No, it is worth giving. That $1 that you give, okay, might end up be transformed into a mountain of reward on the Day of Judgment for you. From amongst the hadith to do with taqwa that have been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, and there are many, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أكثر ما يدخل الناس الجنة قال. He was asked about what is it that makes a lot of people enter Jannah. أكثر, what is it? What is the thing that most people can, that people can do, okay, that will enter them Jannah? He said, تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. That you have the taqwa of Allah and that you have a good akhlaq, that you have good manners. That you have good akhlaq. So akhlaq is part of that shortcut to Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abi Dharr, he said, اتق الله حيثما كنت واتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. The Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, he said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah, be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Wherever you are. And he further goes on, he says, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ. And follow up a sinful action with a good deed. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And deal with the people. Treat the people with good akhlaq, with good manners. Another hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, la tusahib illa mu'minan wala ya'kul ta'amaka illa taqi. Do not have as a close friend, a close buddy, except for a believer. And none should eat from your food. I was having someone in the company of your home, yani sitting at your yani table, except a person who has taqwa, who has fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because those who don't have taqwa may go about talking about what's in your home, you know, and the members of your home, and so on and so forth. And that's not to say that you cannot, you know, invite anybody to your house. Sometimes, yes, you can invite people over for a tea or a coffee. You want to talk about Islam, there's no harm in doing that. Okay, when you say there's no fitna that could come about. As I said to you, many hadith that I'd love to share with you, but subhanAllah, the time is very limited. But inshaAllah ta'ala, this is what I wanted to mention, what I wanted to share with you regarding this topic of taqwa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me and to grant you taqwa, to make us from amongst al-muttaqoon or al-muttaqeen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength and the energy and everything that is going to take, that is going to enable us to practice taqwa, and to give us understanding of his deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all strength. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.